Ah, what fun times we live in, dear friends. The planets are certainly maligned for our discontent this time out. A gracious good day to you, one and all. This is indeed Fusebox number 73, name-naming. And I am your erstwhile but very present and accounted for host, Mark Rose. And we have a virtual box full of twirling tentacles of activity going on.
Yeah, weren't they a new wave band from the 1980s?
Very possibly. All I can remember is the hair. That voice over there is of the maestro of meters himself, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Thank you kindly. Pleased to be anywhere, actually.
And add to the list of crazy things in the air is this eclipse, which is happening in a few days as we record this, but, you know...
Hell, I thought I might just leave town for a spell, you know, but then I...
But then you realized, as many of us have here in lovely Portland, Oregon, that the state's population is now presently growing to 25% more people during this crazy solar event.
Hell, man, the traffic's already batshit crazy. What the hell is this eclipse thing gonna do?
I don't know. Me? I'm planning to go down into the bunker and shut the lid for... You know what? I don't have a bunker, come to think of it. I almost had a bunker, but I don't. But if I did...
Yeah, I think folks are thinking that this eclipse is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Or
yeah, it's true. Actually, if the truth be known, friends, this happens rather frequently. You know, not always visible in totality like it is now, but the last one that did this was, what, 1978?
Yeah, 1978.
Yeah, I think, but because of the social media vortex we all find ourselves swimming in, some... more reluctantly than others.
Yeah.
But seriously, word travels faster than light these days, you know? And stories become more elaborate and bloated even faster. And as we watch this eclipse fever spread around the globe, it really becomes clear that it is indeed going to be the largest science event in our present history. And I'll have to say this, caused mostly by buzz. Yes, friends, the sun and moon have now become viral.
Oh, I'm sure the Insta-tweet and Snap-face things will be going hellfire ballistic with, you know, shots of the sun and then cats, and then more shots of the sun and then cats. And then cats with sandwiches and then more shots.
Sad, but true. 'Tis our present-day situation, friends. Like it, or prefer to put it in a big flammable sack and light it, it's where we are today, and it ain't pretty all the time. Take, for instance, one such event that is happening right now that actually has touched many here on the channel, although I betcha some may not be aware of it. OnSug, the Overnightscape Underground channel here, is... hosted by a terrific company known as DreamHost, and we too at Fuse have just recently moved all of our web-oriented materials to them as well. And I can tell you as one customer that transition was seamless and almost nearly fun. Thanks also, though, to our friend Jamie Lawson, who facilitated that process. And regardless of who your host is, that transition process can be a thing, you know, if it's not handled with loving care as it was for us. Because golly gee willikers, if you don't handle all those little dangling tendrils and buckets of cyber sludge just right, well, it just becomes vague. And you know what? You know what? That's the secret word for today's show, okay?
Gotcha, amigo. Or did they?
Who knows? And who are them anyway? But our collective host, friends, is a bit under pressure from the Department of Justice to turn over personal information from about 1.3 million IP addresses that identify visitors to a website set up to coordinate protests on Inauguration Day, a request that DreamHost says violates the Constitution. And quoting the legal rep for DreamHost, a chap named Chris Gazarian, he says, "What we have is a sweeping request for every single file we have in relation to disruptj20.org. The search warrant is not only dealing with everything in relation to the website, but also tons of data about people who visited it." And now, quoting from the Washington Post, the request also covers emails between the site's organizers and people interested in attending the protests, any deleted messages and files, as well as subscriber information such as names and addresses, and unpublished photos and blog posts that are stored in the site's database. Needless to say, friends, this little sleight-of-hand move has set off a cyclone of protest, both within civil liberties advocates and the tech community as a whole. To quote Mr. Gazarian again, "What you're seeing is pure prosecutorial overreach by a politicized Justice Department, allowing the Trump administration to use prosecutors to silence critics."
If she drowns, she's not a witch.
Yeah, that didn't work for Dick Nixon either, who conveniently resigned when his ass was about to get thrown out of the Oval Office in 74.
Oh, yeah, and some of his cronies, too. John Ehrlichman, H.R. Haldeman, and John Mitchell, just to name a few. So regardless of your views on the guy in the White House, this is clearly an overreach by the Department of Justice. The outcry is warranted here, friends. And we are kind of tangentially aligned to this issue by virtue of the fact that ideas expressed even here, right? Even on this platform, the podcasty thingy, whether they align or not with our own ideas, at least as of last week in this country, it was marginally okay to express them, as long as it didn't cause harm to others physically. Now, emotionally? Well, you're just on your own. So, on Friday, DreamHost filed a reply, and quoting here again from the Washington Post, arguing that the warrant's breadth violates the Fourth Amendment because it failed to describe the, quote, particularity, end quote, the items to be seized, asking for all records or other information pertaining to the site, including all files, databases, and database records, is far too broad, the company said. The warrant also raises First Amendment issues, it said. Visitors to the protest site should have the right to keep their identities private. But if they fear that the Justice Department will have information on them, that will chill their freedom of speech and association, the company argued. So here's the deal. So even people who were nowhere near Washington on Inauguration Day, who visited the website, disruptj20.org, will have their data swept into a criminal investigation. Okay? Now, you may recall that there were some violent protests on this January 20th Inauguration Day of Adolf Trump, that they, the Department of Justice, are desperately trying to pin on the DisruptJ20.org group. My point is that with all the activity lately, with the net neutrality being threatened, and at various times the telecommunications companies themselves being asked to comply with certain requests for sensitive information, which may or may not be ethical, depending upon which side of the fence you're on, it's starting to make this type of info-grabbing kind of vague. Yeah, and you know, when things become vague, they become slippery. And then before you know it, you don't get paid. You know what I mean? That's one of the things that happens. Have you ever noticed that? You just don't get paid because it's so damn vague.
I take it now it's not a good time to talk about a raise.
Only if I can pay you in chickens. But no, before you know it, when it's vague, everybody is handing everything over because it's your duty as a citizen to uphold the truth.
Man, you know, if it's one bunch of folks you do not want to piss off, it's the nerds, man. That's just plain crazy.
Indeed. I think the pressure is mounting here. There are way too many issues at stake that actually do one very primary thing, right? They take away things people have learned to not only enjoy, but now find indispensable, okay? This present culture, at least the one in the U.S., has absolutely no context for having something taken away from them that has so become part of their lives, right? So for better or worse, we're going to get some mighty pissed off people when you attempt to take something like this away. So a hearing is scheduled for Friday in Superior Court before Judge Lynn Leibovitz. So I sincerely hope all goes well, friends. This could well signal round one of a very interesting civil cyber war looming just over there.
And now more information from the Government Office of Informational Anomalies, a public service to desensitize the citizenry to weirdness. A woman living near Miami, Florida, had just sent her husband off to work when she heard a sound like a rock crusher. She looked out the kitchen window just in time to see a large sinkhole open in the driveway and swallow her husband as he started up his Dodge Ram truck. Neighbors who gathered carefully around the edge could see no sign of the truck or her husband, as the sinkhole was unusually deep and may have opened into an aquifer. She was heard to say, "Damn. Harold really loved that truck." The police in Florida. What is it about Florida? Owe a sincere apology to Calvin Fescue. Pulled over for a traffic stop, Mr. Fescue was observed to have a fine dusting of white powder around his nose and was hauled in for possession of crack cocaine. The bewildered Mr. Fescue insisted it was sugar from a glazed donut. The police persisted, however, and suggested if it wasn't cocaine, it was probably crystal meth, given the consistency. The police were forced to recant when a large box of Krispy Kreme glazed donuts was discovered in the suspect's possession, but neither crack nor crystal meth was.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Seriously, what the hell is up with that part of the world? You know what I mean?
I think it's the heat. Just turns their brain to oatmeal, you know?
Thanks to Jody Lorimer for that healthy morsel of ear food.
Great backup band, too.
Oh, yeah. Andy and the Droids. You like them, do you? Huh? So, coming up in a bit, we have another great and life-affirming review from the video vixen herself.
Thank God. I was about ready to eat a bullet in here, for Christ's sake.
Well, save it. You know why? Because there's more foment to come. But the vixen has a terrific treat of a review coming up shortly that is more than apropos for these apocalyptic times of ours. And that is coming up in a bit. So, friends, what the hell is going on? You know? But by now, most folks are aware of the tragic violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, a few days back. when a neo-Nazi white nationalist Ku Klux Klan rally.
There's a trifecta for you.
Oi.
Yeah, that right there, that'd get you killed.
Yes. Oh, I know. Hey, you know I'm part of this elite Jewish media thing that runs everything, huh? You know that, right? Buddy, if that were true, do you think I'd be doing this podcast thing?
Well, it's all part of your master plan to control all the world's podcasting.
Hey, make me emperor, and make me that right now. Oh, man. So, there's this rally planned in the downtown there in Charlottesville. And all these folks were planning to, quote, peacefully assemble. Which kind of gets back to the earlier subject, folks. No matter how we personally view the spewage they spew, should in theory be okay to verbalize. But you see, it just never stops there with this kind of thing. Because it's not about access to free information we're talking about here, as in the other issue we were chatting about earlier. No. Which also, by the way, resulted in violence. This is an affront to humanity. A hate-filled attack on a person's nationality or ethnic lineage. Very personal. Not software. People get rightfully upset when you attempt to degrade their ethnic heritage. Frankly, whatever that heritage is. This intolerance has fostered more wars than even the religiously instigated ones. Although sometimes they're connected, and then it's a real double whammy. But when former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke, a Trump supporter, by the way, and also was speaking at this Charlottesville thing that Saturday, he says, European Americans are being ethnically cleansed within our own nation, and called Saturday's events the first step toward taking America back.
Taking it back? To what? The Crusades?
You gotta wonder. This whole ethnic cleansing thing, as I recall, seems to be the MO for the KKK, if I'm not mistaken. Also, and this is what really gets me. This notion of pure ethnicity, or somehow being apart from everything else, separate and untouched, is frankly, friends, a form of mental illness. And at the very least, delusional. So apart from their delusion, the fact remains that every living person on this globe is ethnic. I don't care where you live. In your gene pool are the fragments of a multitude of ethnicities that have been commingled for millennia. Yeah, even Native Americans. There is no pure race. That wasn't the plan, folks. That's a dumb plan, actually. Things in nature that are so tightly bred, usually by us, produce biological artifacts and inherent flaws, right? That eventually destroy it. It's not intended to stay that way. The actual plan is to build the most efficient form possible. Which means you take all the positive attributes of everyone and commingle it, and eventually, through time, you end up with a really solid and efficient form that hopefully is more resilient to disease and entropy. It's kind of how it works in nature without us helping it.
I wonder if you can breed out dumbasses.
Why, yes! Yes, you can breed out dumbasses. You know how? You breed out dumbasses by way of education. People aren't born racist. They're taught to become racist. The smarter we are, the more enlightened we are. The more enlightened we are, the more open and inclusive and mentally and emotionally expansive we are as well, right? As well as compassionate, logical, accepting, and understanding we are. You know, it just takes time, unfortunately. But the good news is, unless the Republican Party continues to thwart our efforts to combat something like global warming, we have time on our side. Which means anything is possible, given time, given space. Separation is a lousy idea and is frankly, as my Buddhist friends would say, unskillful, because it doesn't truly unite anything. It divides and eventually creates a system that then starts to subdivide the factions within itself. One side isn't quite as pure as the other side. And so on, until, just like a living cell under a cancer assault, it dissolves and is then rendered to nothing.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
There will be a three-part quiz tomorrow, which will not be, I assure you, vague. Back in a flash.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're graced with another review from the Video Vixen. Here she is once again placing herself in harm's way, so we don't have to. She braves another cinematic marvel, this one from the 80s, called Striker.
It's tomorrow. The day after the end. A world once destroyed, now reborn. Without rules. Without justice. Without water.
Video Vixen.
Striker, 1983, directed by Sirio H. Santiago, stars Steve Sander, Mike Lane, and other people you've never heard of.
Oh joy, it's one of those Mad Max ripoffs. Just kidding, there is no joy to be found in watching this mess. Tribes of humanity battle each other for water, the most precious commodity left on Earth. Forget your stocks, bonds, and 401ks. Evian is the currency of the future. The only reason to see this movie is all the women running around in their little leather shorts. We get rape, decapitation, bitches getting smacked up, midget abuse, and a golden shower. And this movie still sucks! That's quite an achievement. I'm the Video Vixen. And remember, behave yourselves.
Thanks, as always, to the ever-vigilant Video Vixen for keeping that watchful eye out for us, wisely advising us on the perils of the Grade Z film universe. You know, you just gotta love those post-apocalyptic flicks, right? Everybody all dried up and thirsty and covered with road scrunge. You know, it always lots of dust and really, really bleak looking, you know? Kind of the way it feels right now, don't you think?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, what the hell, man? Really, seriously, what the hell is going on out there?
I know, bro, I know.
I mean, of course we don't want to really just roll over during times like these, right? Actually, no matter how dark and senseless these times may get, and they could get really senseless from here, friends, I think it's our true duty to fight this sort of insipid hatred with anything and everything we've got. Seriously. And sometimes that means that it won't be real graceful or eloquent or probably even in the eyes of some, proper. Because social disruption rarely is. But you know what? We have to be damn sure to...
Don't be that guy.
Well, hey, he's gonna make America great again. You're going to drain the swamp. You better believe that. He's going to build a wall. Yeah, a wall, see, because we need a wall to keep those Mexicans out. And the Muslims. Muslims and the Mexican Muslims out. And he's gonna make America great again, because I don't have to tell you about Benghazi. That was the other problem right there, see, because I thought he was a lousy president. That was Barack Benghazi. Those were bad times for us in here in America. But that Hillary, that damn Hillary and Benghazi, see, that Benghazi and the emails, we can't have that in this great country of ours, because we've got to make America great again. And you just wait. Once all those details come in, all that proof, you'll see, by God, we're going to make America great again. And we're going to drain that swamp, because that's what we need to do. We need to drain that swamp. And once we do that, by God, we're going to make America great again. You just wait. Keep them Mexican Muslims out with the wall and make America great again.
So, yeah, perhaps a rather atypical show for us here at Fusebox Friends, but the times are in turmoil, and we'd be just horribly remiss to ignore it and say it wasn't there and cheerfully go on about our business. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree that there is a lot going on right now, and our focus really should be on the core issues, you know, and not be distracted by tangential displays, because I assure you, in the coming days, there will be many such attempts to divert the attention. But stay with it, friends. Seriously, it'll be worth the time and the energy. And with that erudite elocution, we conclude yet another edition of Burning Your Bridges with Cleveland Beanpole.
Welcome back, man. What the hell?
All this chatter has made me giddy. Giddy, I say. Well, friends, we're grabbing our megaphones and expandable waistbands and shuffling down the road. But not before saying thanks to our brave frontline who literally risk their lives to do this program at times. Seriously. Jody Lorimer for anomalous information of the third kind. Trista Perez for video veracity, and Jeff Pollard for spontaneous graphic enlightenment and linerage. Also, thanks to the never, here it comes, vague Milt Caines over there for co-piloting this audio airbag.
My pleasure as always, but you might have to take the back way home. Oh, wait, you are home.
Yes, I know I am home. But that works for me. And of course, thanks to you, friends, for pushing play on this edition of Fusebox. And while you're at it, pushing things around, because, you know, we love when you do that, why not push the Fusebox.com shopping button and sail through the many fun and dangerous items on display there? I assure you that they are all 100% Fusebox approved and will, in fact, make you younger, richer, and restore all of your hair at the same time. Also, please subscribe to this fine example of healthy and fortified ear food, whether it's lurking over there at podcast.com or Apple Podcasts or onsug.com or wherever the hell you found us. We would so value your support, most truly. So, I have been your thinking a lot about New Zealand host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fuse.